Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Someone just ate an egg live. Are you like the Gnome King from the second Wizard of Oz called Return to Oz? The Gnome King was allergic to eggs. That was the one thing that could kill the Gnome King. I don't know if you know that, Robbie, but Return to Oz, terrifying film. Quite scary. Much more scary than the first one. But
Frank Oz is a South Dakota guy, and he's kind of scary.
Frank Oz from South Dakota? I didn't know that. Okay, I'm going to lock that in. Well, hey, welcome in. It's us. Plotso Podcast, two L's, two Z's, there it is.
Utah.
Live chat will be over. You guys are welcome to talk to us. Robbie and Benjamin and myself, Mikey, Benji, and Robbie doing our thing here on a Monday night. We got lots to cover because if you saw the graphic, we got hot minor league hitters to talk about later in the show, which we will get to. And we've had tons of call-ups, so we should waste very little time. We should really just dive right into all this action to talk about. So many players that got the call last week, today,
nuts.
Ben. I mean, I'm stoked to hear what you guys have to say all about this stuff. Make sure you guys jump in the live chat along the way. Ask questions. Of course, 5-star reviews on our podcast streams, all that. YouTube, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. And if you really want to be a friend, you can donate to the show. And that directions are right down there. Okay? Great.
Great job.
I mean, today it kept coming. You just kept seeing another name and another name and another name of guys getting the call today. And I think we have to start off with the one that has been in question since about the first week of spring training, and that's Nick Kurtz.
Right. Zach Agnes. Oh, sorry, what?
No. Nick Kurtz is coming up, and hey, it's Mike VA telling us exactly that.
Great job.
One of the things, you know, he started out the year and everyone went, oh my gosh, he hit 5 home runs in the first, week and a half of AAA. Mm-hmm. He's ready. Get him up. And what folks haven't really paid attention to is he's hit some more home runs, but he's also striking out about 40% of the time over the last 2 weeks.
Christian Moore. That's what he's done, Ben.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Honestly,
he came out of the gate strong. Everybody got pumped, and then he leveled off.
I was looking at it, and I thought, what do I expect for the rest of the year? And this might bug a lot of people because I think by the end of the year, his overall numbers will be better. But it would not surprise me if Kurtz this year is something like Rhys Hoskins last year. And a lot of people didn't like Rhys Hoskins last year. But, better ballpark.
Wait. Rhys Hoskins when he came up or last year?
No.
You're talking about last season.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 28-29% strikeout rate, still getting some walks, but likely not going to have a ton of batting average with it and going to give you some power. And that's kind of the profile I thought, that kind of works for what you can be very, very happy if you get more than that. but not very sure you're going to. So, I'm excited to see him just because this is one of the best college hitters we've had in a long, long time, and getting him a chance to get up to the majors quickly. I don't know that there's a ton of development left for him in AAA. One of the mistakes that folks have made, yes, the A's, if he goes on a tear and wins the Rookie of the Year, the A's do not get a draft pick. However, he does qualify for a full season of service time if he wins the Rookie of the Year. Paul Skeens did it last year, but the Pirates did not get a draft pick. So everyone says, oh, man, he's kind of – the team screwed him. He's out of the, you know, chance to get – no, if he places, he gets a full season of service time. So if he comes out and hits well, it doesn't matter that the team missed the PPI deadline that they had to have. He's going to get a chance. So
PPH? PPI?
Prospect Promotion Incentive, I think. It's PPI, yeah. So, oh, you muted yourself there, Mike.
How did I get muted? Nobody mutes me. I don't get muted.
That's why we were surprised.
I'm so upset right now. How did that happen? Anyways, I was thinking about, as you watch Nick Kurtz, look at that's fun. Look how easy it is for him. He's very nonchalant with his home runs, I'm noticing. On the two we've played here alone, he kind of just swings really hard and is like, yeah, I did that.
He's been there, done that. I think he's second in Wake Forest home run history. So I mean, the guy did that a few times.
Look at this. Yep.
There are times you just know. You just know that it's.
I've never experienced that. So what the hell do I know? But I just remember what the, you know, every year at First Pitch Arizona they have this guy who's a scout. He's in an organization. We don't share his name. It's a secret. It's one of the bonuses of going there. But he. I remember what he said when I watched him talk, and I've seen this guy talk now because I've been to First Pitch like four times the last 5 years, and he's always there. And he didn't like Nick Kurtz's personality. He was really focused on that, and I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting, but like, I'm more interested in is that gonna impact his talent?
How much folks that were talking about him in the draft loved that about him. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go.
What's really surprising to me is. They kind of expected that even with the injuries they had last year, that both J.J. Weatherholt and Nick Kurtz, who were teammates in college, could potentially challenge for that number one overall pick just because they were so likable in the interviews. So
yeah, I think he said he was like too goofy. That was his concern.
Well,
which, dude, baseball is filled with goofy guys.
You're playing 162 games over a matter of 6 months. And you're in the locker room with a whole bunch of guys who have a whole lot of different life experiences and backgrounds. Mm-hmm. About half of them, not even from your own country, at least. And you're gonna tell me that being a little goofy doesn't allow you to get through the season? I mean,
I hear you.
I will say one of my favorite guys to listen to. Listen to the way that Freddie Freeman handles first base whenever they mic him up. I mean, that guy is just talking bull crap all game long. Like, hey, so I hear you went hunting in Wyoming this last offseason. Did you get anything? You know, it's just
weird. It's baseball, man.
Yeah.
It's filled with all kinds of characters. It's supposed to be that way. So I just thought it was kind of like, is this what you're giving me? This is the bonus I'm getting? We're focusing on this? I just felt it was a waste of time.
You got to have Mark Fidrich, you know.
Exactly.
You got to have those guys.
Bill Lee, the spaceman. Right, Robbie? Yeah.
Don't know who that is.
Come on now.
Hello?
You don't know who Bill Lee is, really? The spaceman? Red Sox? Old timer? He's an old timer.
Yeah.
He was a real
card. I was just
going
to say, how far back are we going here?
It is old school.
I grew up with Braves and Blue Jays on TV and Cubs a little bit. That was it. That's all
fair.
Those were the only teams I could watch. We didn't get the Saturday baseball and all that fun stuff either. So
was Bill Lee in the baseball documentary at all? I feel like he was. Maybe I'm just throwing that in now. I haven't watched the baseball documentary by Ken Burns in
like the recent probably Red 25 Sox years.
Oh yeah, he's in Ken Burns's. Yep,
he is. That's what I thought. Anyways,
they get in the 70s and he talks.
He's a funny guy. He's funny. I think he died. I think he's actually gone.
You know who wasn't born then, guys?
Who?
You know who wasn't born 25 years ago? Luke Kuechel, who's up for the Twins.
Yeah, there we go. Transition.
Just to get to the next thing here, 8.5 minutes in. 333 average, 4-for-12, 850 OPS, one stolen base. So that's an empty OPS for everybody who's curious about it. But he's up, and I know, Govia, you did a little thing on him and Durbin, I think, was your video that you did last week, right? And you were saying that, you know, long-term Kuechel, short-term Durbin, and the Twins for me are always making me skeptical of whether I should trust in what they're bringing up and what they're going to do with it. So, but anyway, he's up, and now we're not talking about the A's anymore. So that's good.
Yeah.
And interesting news that I would like both of your opinions on, guys. Chandler Simpson's up for Tampa Bay. Now, we know Chandler Simpson as Mr. Stolen Base. Richie Palacios is on the IL for 4 to 6 weeks. Chandler coming up looks like it's a good thing. But I noticed that he had 8 stolen bases, which was not – it was somewhat in the top 10 of AAA, but it wasn't the top guy. And in his 8 stolen bases so far this year, he was caught 3 times, which I was – curious, was this just maybe like one hot catcher or a couple catchers that got lucky? But what are you guys thinking he's going to be bringing to Tampa Bay? Everybody's expecting stolen bases. Is that what we're going to get?
I watched the debut of him, and they were talking about when he has gotten on base in Durham this year, the goal has been utilizing his speed and working with Durham hitters to do hit and runs behind him. And so I almost wonder if he hasn't been put into you delay just a hair to do a hit and run, which usually doesn't give you the same sort of a jump as a stolen base, and he ends up getting caught because somebody missed their swing on the hit and run, and he's left kind of out there with nothing to do. One of the things that I noticed in the weekend, did you guys notice that he broke up a no-hitter?
I did not. I missed that.
Like he was in on Sunday against the Yankees?
He was the guy who technically broke the no-hitter against
Reed.
And in all seriousness, I watched that video. I think they made the right call. I don't know if they get the ball there where Simpson was. If Goldschmidt fields that cleanly, I don't know there's any chance that they get him at first base, because Simpson was like 3/4 of the way down the line already. It would have taken the pitcher in a tremendous sprint to get there. Mm-hmm. Plus you have Goldschmidt's got to field that cleanly and toss it cleanly. You know, I think they made it the right call. It does stink for Fried that he was in like the 6th inning or 7th inning. And all of a sudden you get this announcement that, oh, by the way, you're no longer pitching a no hitter. You're pitching a one hitter. Like,
it happens. I think he's a guy that's got a lot of immediate potential right now, which is strange because potential's down the road. But right now, in terms of output, he'll give you some stuff. But I immediately was not that motivated in redraft to get Chandler Simpson because there's guys like Josh Lowe that'll be coming back, and they got a lot of guys they like here. I don't know that Simpson's just up here for good. I really don't.
It was a fun week for Fab. It really was.
It was.
I mean, there was a lot of good guys that came up that, I mean, I think Simpson might have been 3rd in my TGFBI league as far as the bid. Now, 1st was Austin Hayes, so that's just kind of, a guy coming back from injury and was available. But the next 3 or 4 were all young guys that are getting back up, and Simpson was even the 2nd in that. And I honestly, off the top of my head, can't remember who was above him. But, you know, there's some guys that have been coming up, and he's kind of a one-category stud right now. He does have excellent plate discipline against either-handed pitchers. This is going to be a guy who gets on base at a pretty good rate, and with that speed can use that one tool he has.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a whole lot of power behind the swing. It's going to likely mean that a lot of stuff doesn't fall with major league level defenders that fell with minor league level defenders. And so it might be a while before he's a good contact hitter.
It might be. There's also Johnny DeLuca, Josh Lowe, Haesung Kim will be back. He doesn't play his position, but these guys are going to be a part of this roster when they're healthy. And who else goes? Okay, maybe they'll play musical chairs when that time comes, but I just don't think it's a guarantee. Just like Kurtz is not a guy in redraft. In Dynasty, these are different stories, right? But in redraft, Kurtz is a guy that I'm interested in, but I'm not that. I'm not like, I got to have this guy, and it's going to – I just don't see it that way year one. Wyatt Langford got a lot of hype last year. He ended up picking it up towards the end of the year, but there was a big chunk of last year. Wyatt Langford was just ho-hum because they're young. They're not all going to dominate. We cover it on this show ad nauseum.
And teammate Evan Carter last year was going to be – two of them were going to be studs, and then he just kind of face-planted.
Now, this guy, Dustin Harris, is taking more control there now, which is –
We can get to Harris. We can get to Harris later. But you got Harris. You got also Tyler Soderstrom, who's just been amazing.
Yep.
And now you're like, hey, here's competition for not just at bats, but you potentially your position. I don't think that's the best way to go about it, but that's what they did. So anyway, that's more Kurtz talk than we need. So Griffin Conine, this is the real sad news. Griffin Conine.
Yeah. Oh, I was Robbie, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm very sorry.
And the worst thing is that it was a regular old baseball play, sliding into second, boom, shoulder out, and immediately 60 days. Like they got him off to clear a spot on the 40 man and all that stuff. The guy they're bringing up is an international signee that I think is from Baltimore a long time ago, Ronnie Simon or Simone. He was really good in AAA, multi-position guy. He's a fun one. And once upon a time, I think was thought of as like a really good defensive outfielder who then became like a, we're going to move you around here and there. And then he did switch organizations, I think twice. Miami, like eventually landed in Miami. I'm not sure if he was once upon a time a Ray or something. I have a memory of him moving out of
Baltimore. For some reason, I have a memory of him in Tampa.
You have failed.
Yeah. And then the other one.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, he's still got time. It just, this really sucks because he was playing well and it was a matter of what are they going to do when everybody gets healthy.
Yeah.
And now that he's gone, anyone else that was in competition for at bats is just going to get them now for an extended period of time. And then he's going to have to rehab.
Dane Myers.
It's anybody. It's anybody. But anyway, Augustin Ramirez is another guy that they Miami called up, which is so exciting. But I got to say, after Hicks had like picked it up, getting the temporary starting catcher role, it's Rule unfortunate. Rule 5 from Detroit.
Detroit, correct.
Who had a bunch of catcher prospects that they protected, and then this was one they didn't. And he's been good. Not that you immediately give it to a guy who's had like a good weekend or anything. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to move Ramirez to like first base DH. They've talked about how he's an, you know, under average catcher. But it's just bringing up some bats, which I think is interesting, and we'll see what Miami can really
Wagamans
do
in the mix there. Over there first two. Yeah, it's interesting who will play out there. I would love.
They consistently clog it. Miami consistently clogs themselves.
Clog it good.
But for what it's worth, I was impressed that they were more than willing to just completely cut bait on Jonah Bride. They didn't hang on and keep that forever. You know, they're just like, you know what? You are not a young guy that we're going to really worry too much about. So, you know, there we go. We're just out you go.
And yeah, that's true.
You know, that's now he's clogging up in Minnesota, but that's a whole nother.
Yeah, it's very similar in a way. It's kind of weird, actually. Poor Jonah Bryant can't catch a break. But I like Augustin Ramirez more than Kurtz this year. I'm going to lock myself in and I'll end up looking like a doofus this year. Go ahead. Let's do it. Why not? That's what I really believe, and I like to be different. Not just to be different, it's what I actually see as a possibility if this guy is allowed to stay up and kind of work it out, if.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Okay, so let's talk about guys that are coming back, not just promotions. Liam Hendricks is back with the Red Sox.
Long road, too. Welcome back.
Yeah, good to see him back. That's fun.
Good job.
Somebody put on the notes in here, so Jace Jung's back, not as dramatic. But I've got some notes on Jace Jung later on, so we can dive into him a little deeper.
Yeah.
And not just those two guys. Bobby Dalbec is up well for the White Sox. Finally out from the shadow of the Red Sox and Casas and everybody else that got in his way. Remember Michael Chavis? That was one of the guys that, you know, was taking a bats from Dalbec once upon a time. Anyway, 326 average and 4 home runs in AAA. 16 Ks and 48 at bats during that time and only 2 walks. So don't get excited that like he's changed or something has happened. Like he's gotten a few maybe singles that would have otherwise been ground ball outs or something. But if you're completely screwed like I am in one league, he's not a bad guy to look to at first base to see if maybe you can do something with him for a short period of time.
Do you guys know who Young got IL'd, who got demoted on the Tigers? Did you see that? I'll look it up. Like, I didn't find out. Kerry Carpenter had a bad hammy, but I didn't know if he's exactly going to go on the IL yet.
No, because they were still talking about. They were talking about it in that post that
he's still not in there yet, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's still day to day, so I'll look it up. Whatever.
He hadn't been yet, but there. I don't remember. I thought somebody got sent down.
Molloy?
No,
Oh, good. I'd be worried it might be him though.
That would have been. I would have had some words.
I would have been sad, but.
Oh, Ryan Creedler went down.
Oh, good, good. Oh. I don't like the Creedler thing. Let's just move on from that. Great. All right. Good news. Okay. Woohoo! Yay! Live chat's open, Robbie. I just want to let know that Eddie's here. Yeah. He says, I'm beginning to consider Brady House as a pickup sooner than later before the rest of the redraft guys start looking at him.
Hey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Eddie.
Thank you. He's getting close.
If you're looking for a hot pickup that'll do nothing for you unless it's a 30-team league with five relief pitchers, you guys can all go grab yourself a beer right now because I'm going to talk to you about Colorado Rockies relief pitcher Zach Agnes. Coors. 6'2", 210 righty, 10th round pick in 2022. And yes, it's the Rockies, but keep in mind, this isn't a plug-in guy, in my opinion. This is a closer who had 27 saves last year between A and double A. With a 10.8 K per nine, a 1.38 whip, 1.38 ERA, and a decimal 7.83 whip. And the Rockies pen is actually like decent looking from the talent aspect now. It's just like really crappy that the team's never in a position to use them.
They're shit.
The team is the problem. The bullpen seems to be a potential strength. Anyway, he's an inning into his MLB career. I suspect he could become a hold step guy this year. He's got a really good splitter, four seamer cutter that could keep, you know, hitters trying to be aggressive to get one of those pitches, you know, stay away from the slider, blah, blah, blah. I just think he could be interesting in deep leagues, 0% rostered in fantasy. So I checked the sites, guys. I checked the sites. And you're saying, well, Rob, what other Rockies news do you have for us? Well, hang on, everybody. Catcher, nonetheless. Catcher. Everybody loves a Colorado Rocky catcher.
This Braxton
Fulford.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old. He was a six-round pick in 2021 with the Rockies. First taste of AAA was actually in 2023. He finished the year there. Last weekend series, got 8 at-bats. Spent all last year in AA and then had a hot start in AAA this year and is now up and in the show. So that's exciting. It did take other Rockies catchers a while to sort themselves out. But Jacob Stallings has been real, real bad. And they might want to be moving. What is it? Goodman. What's his name?
What about Romo?
Well, he's your AAA guy. I think he's you're going to slow play and bring him back up. Hunter Goodman. That's who I was thinking. Hunter Goodman has been serviceable. Not excellent, serviceable. So there's an opportunity for at bat.
Since we go down, I have Rockies news on here too, but it just apparently didn't make it into all of your stuff.
I wanted to spread it out.
Tours. But it does make a lot of sense that you're going to see more for Goodman just because Chris Bryant, now it's confirmed that he's got the degenerative back thing. You know, something we kind of all said, hey, there's something going on for a while. Yep, it sure enough there was. But they got rid of Bam Bam.
Oh.
Sad. Sorry, Hensley Bam Bam Mullins.
Love Hensley Mullins.
That was I saw that Eddie said Halverson got bombed. He did, but since then he's been back. But the Rockies are horrible right now, so there's not even hold opportunities. So he's not great in a redraft. Absolutely not useful. Only really, honestly, points leagues right now. Otherwise, you got to just put him on your bench because the Rockies are so damn bad.
We have to wait for a calendar flip here.
Yeah. New and month. Like, you know, a Chris Bryant, sadly, of course, is gone or like for a long time here. They need to find some other type, you know, plug and play DH. Someone who can just come in and be a 4-6 guy in that lineup consistently. And all like right now, their entire middle infield is on the IL, like backups included. So they're in a tough spot. So Yeah. Anyway, former catcher MJ Melendez sent down to AAA from KC.
I think he's done. I think it's over, Matt man. Shoswell. I don't know how much of a big league career he has left. Yeah. I hate to say that.
Yeah,
I really Yeah, right. Remember? Was it the 40 home run minor league season or close to it that 1 year?
He was pushing for Sal's job. And,
yeah, Sal Perez led the majors in home runs.
Yeah, he was
runs,
a catcher, so that was that much more tasty because he had a catcher designation, but he lost that, and then he just became a very ho-hum, whiff-a-lot outfielder, sadly. I have a note on this
coming up, Eddie, just so you know, Eddie.
Ooh, a teaser.
Back to the Caleb Durbin point, he's up with Milwaukee. Also, we talked a week ago about Logan Henderson and kind of what we were thinking, and he immediately, of course, got called up and then did not start until Sunday. And as I was knocking the teeth out of my opponent in my home league, he picked him up at 4:06. So right after Henderson's excellent start, the guy picked him up, and I was like, oh, a day late and a dollar short, my friend, because I did some boot stomping in the home league. And Craig Yoho up as well.
So. Except
really?
Craig Yoho came up for Logan Henderson.
Why?
Because they needed arms. Yeah,
they need the bullpen guys.
Damn it.
It's all right. Somebody's going to have a fingernail issue, and they'll be able to make the quick injury recall for Henderson headed into the weekend series.
Well, Tobias Myers is back this week, too, so I thought that somebody was going, and I didn't know that Yoho would come up, too. Okay, well, there you go. So, that's interesting.
Yoho is an interesting one just because this is a guy who looks a lot like Devin Williams did when Devin came up, and Devin had to get rid of like 2.5 pitches before he became what he is. I think there's going to be some transition time. Everyone that's expecting Yoho to come straight up and be an elite closer, yeah, that ain't happening, folks. But I think that, you know, you're going to get a chance to see how the Brewers' magic in major leagues works on pitching development, because I have a feeling he's going to come in with 4 pitches within about a month. He's going to be down to 2 and show me a third. And another month after that, they're going to play with his arm angle a little bit, and then he's going to just be a monster by 26.
I got to jump in here, guys. I'm so sorry, but this has to be done because the Yoho call-up has happened. I mean, I had to do this real quick, so bear with me.
This has to be pirates. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Come on, say it once. They're not even saying it.
You're not singing it. You're the one with the singing voice. You're singing.
I'm supposed to say Yoho. Boo. That was very disappointing for me. Sorry, guys. I'll do better. Poor effort on my producer effort there. I apologize. So.
Okay, right-handed pitcher for Baltimore, Brandon Young, up, solid debut. Do we expect more, or is this going to be a Yankum situation?
I mean, I think he's a number 4 sort of starter, so this is the guy. He might give you exactly what they thought they were getting out of Charlie Morton before Charlie decided he'd, you know, help teams set records in a not good way against
24
him.
Runs?
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Apparently. It's not good. It's
not bad. Can we clarify real quick on this? Because there's a big argument here about Trevor McGill will lose the closer's role to Abner Uribe or Jacob Mizrowski, but then Joe says, yeah, I think that becomes Yoho's job. I think that's a big leap, and I just want to get on the record as saying that, Ben, you said something about Abner Uribe in the Discord a couple weeks ago, maybe, that maybe you wish there was more there on the bone, possibly, that he wasn't getting to, or you want to clarify those statements? Because I'd like him to maybe actually take that role before anybody else in that pen.
He has such great stuff, and when he is a guy who can control his pitches, but he doesn't command them. And so when he's on his, when he's actually getting the ball in the strike zone, it's often a very, and it's not an elite movement sort of profile, but when he's pounding the zone, he's pounding the zone with a really, really good fastball. That's fun to watch, a really good slider. That's fun to watch. But it's also one of those that can hang in just the wrong part of the plate and really get tattooed. And I think that until he figures out how to hit his spots better, that's going to be an issue for him taking that back end job.
Okay. Crap. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying those. Robbie, you got that?
I'm shocked. I'm looking right now.
Give me two.
Yeah, I got it. I'm looking on Fantrax right now. 29% rostered for Yoho. All the Dynasty Leagues I expected. But he must have just been just gobbled up in a whole bunch of redrafts and things like that to have the percentage up that high for a relief pitcher that did not have a clear path to the back of the bullpen. Like, it still isn't there. You got to come up and you can't just be okay. He's going to have to be far and away the best guy for a while. And then after enough time that no one can deny it, will he get his opportunity? It'll be the back-to-back night thing, right? And then he gets a save or two saves in a week, and everyone's like, is he now your closer? And, you know, no. Like, so I think it's interesting with him. And, you know, Mizorowski still needs to be a starter who fails before we're going to see it go back to that. I mean, hell, Griff McGarry's starting now, right? Teams are not willing to give up on these guys as quickly. Or they could put him in the pen with the intent, like Corbin Burns, of getting him back out if they can sort themselves out. Anyway, you know who's hurt? And it's funny, guys, except for Ben. Spencer Strider's hurt again, everyone. It's on. Yeah. It's,
sorry, Ben, but I'm happy. He's
strained his hamstring.
For my teams. So that's not a death sentence. It's a hamstring.
From what they have already said, he's basically going to be out the minimum and be back.
Look at Pablo Lopez. It was like he was barely gone. Yeah, he's already back this week. Yeah. So,
and Ben, you said that Strider's like the new Ian Anderson. I remember you saying that earlier.
That would be negatory, Ghost Rider.
That
said, though, Strider in this start against Toronto utilized six pitches. Everyone that talks about Strider is a two pitch only guy. That is something that I do think is going to be a very interesting look when he comes back, because he's added the curve, he's using a sinker. I mean, I think that it's a good pitch mix. It'll be kind of fun.
I have to hit this up real quick. I'm not going to stop the show in its tracks, I promise. But yesterday, Eddie commented on the show I did, the Fab Show. I caught your show yesterday after I got home from your mom's house for Easter dinner. It doesn't matter how you show your respect for God. We are all his children. There are good guys and bad guys in all races, religions, so it makes no difference what color or how you respect God, as long as you're one of the good guys. And you are. Thank you, Eddie. I just don't know what I said, because I just blabbed on for an hour straight by myself. I must have said something. I hope I didn't say anything that was offensive. That was on Easter Sunday. That was not my intent. All I said was that I was a Jew on Easter Sunday. That's all. But I was just cracking some jokes about that. But if I offended anyone, I apologize. I really do.
But Zach Neto is back.
Yeah.
Hit a home run already. Stolen bases.
Yeah.
Yeah, and slow start, but that's what you want so far. 222 average last week or whatever. 2-9 at bats. So we're early on here. Catcher talk. Edwin Quiro is up with the White Sox. So just as we all thought, Kyle Teal is not promoted, and nobody
I got
him.
So panicked in my main event, Robbie, that I spent decent Fab money on Quiro last night because I was so sick of Carlos Narvaez. Like, I can't wait anymore for Connor Wong to come back. I know Wong will be back in 2 weeks max, but I can't have another 7 to 10, 14 days with Carlos Narvaez hitting for me. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I hear you. I tried to actually acquire Narvaez in a league where I have Wong, and it was just the trade was rejected twice because I didn't want to give up much. You don't need to ride, like, it's 30-team league, so it's not the worst idea to have the backup catcher. And then I just went and got Grandal in that league as well to protect myself further. And then I was like, well, there's all those rule five, you know, Hicks in particular. There's those like lesser known catchers who had a good weekend. Of all people, Austin Wins had the game of his life on Sunday. I think it was 6-for-6, something like that. And like, so he'll get another start or two. But I couldn't do it. And then when you get to these young guys, the cost just goes up, right? As you said, Govier, it's not a recency bias. It's the position scarcity
and the White Sox had seven caps, games right? This week, so I thought, why not?
Yeah, and the Rockies are about to go on a run.
On
Coors.
Ted's comment: the zero steals allowed. Kuro has an amazing arm. His footwork is crap, and that is what they've worked really hard in him. Or hard with him. Whoa.
Hard in it. Yeah.
Whoa. Hello. We're taking this.
Bears gave you a barely name to toughen you up.
We're going straight past PG-13 tonight, folks.
Is this Robbie's nightmare, by the way? You talking catcher footwork?
But, I mean, in order to start, he needs to be able to stop baseballs from getting to the backstop. And that has been their focus this year. And he really has improved in his pitch blocking and stuff like that. It's going to be a matter of the footwork in the run game, but at the same time, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, so
moving on, Robbie, what's next?
Yeah, we got the Yankees bringing up the Dodgers scrap heap player, Jorbit Vivas, and Vivas see what he can do.
You're using a like.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware. I know how that all worked. It was a little potpourri of things. So we'll just move right on.
Yeah, you know.
We'll see what happens.
Just see what happens.
Jose Siri broke his hand. He was not playing well, so it might actually help him long term. And now we're curious if this is going to do anything for Luis Angel Acuna.
No.
What about Ronnie Mauricio
back this week?
Well, what about Jet Williams? I know about the McNeil. That's the one no one wants to talk about. Or Drew Gilbert playing more better.
I love McNeil. McNeil still hit for average. He's not dead yet. He's only 32, 33.
I agree. It's just we would like him to go away because we want the new hot thing.
Okay.
Hot thing.
No, and Drew Gilbert he's looked comfortable back out in center now that he is in now that he's back up to AAA. He started the year injured and had a rehab game or two down in the A ball, and now he's back up to AAA. Looks very comfortable in center field. He's probably about the only natural center fielder they have in their system that's close. That's going to be a problem.
Sorry, yeah. I am just 14 Ks. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what you get for trusting a gopher.
Always that's right,
good.
Baby.
Always a good idea.
I drafted a lot of Max Meyer this year. That's a happy time for me. You got to take the good moments because sometimes you have Tanner Houck who gives up 11 earned runs in a start a week ago. And then a week later, we get Max Meyer striking out 14. So that's nice. You know, take the good with the bad. Also, Ben, any answers for this one? Eddie wants to know, Govia, any ideas on how we can help you guys grow your subscribers?
I mean, other than stealing all your friends' phones, subscribing to us on their YouTube app, and then returning their phone back to them. I will say, my wife has a pretty decent contact group online of ladies that she chats with.
She put us over the top. I remember that day well.
Yeah, she. I mentioned this to her, and she's like, "Well, let me just see." And she got a hold of her network, and everybody just subscribed. Now I don't know how many of them have unsubscribed since when they're like, "Oh, I don't want to listen to these yahoos." But but that's the sort of thing. You can subscribe to a lot of things that you don't ever watch anymore either. You know, that's the whole
thing. Or share it with your league mates. Don't hide it because you don't want them to know about us, which people do. So guys, don't be selfish, please. Thank you so much.
Because we have all of the information that you guys really want, which leads me to the Jesus Take the Wheel pick. No
Jesus
intro
Jesus take
music.
The wheel. Take me off all his faith. If all is on my own. Just imagine my grandfather singing it. There you go. Look at there he is. Grandfather.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
The 1952 at like Channel 7 WXYZ in Detroit. There he is.
I was just going to say, like, that man looks like he should either A, be leading a radio show, or B, challenging Frank Sinatra for some women at the local watering hole.
Yeah, he wasn't even on air. He's running a camera there. This is how professional people used to be. They wore suit and tie to work to run a camera.
Yeah.
Bonkers. Anywho, who we got, Robbie? Who's the...
Well, I mean, everybody's been wondering, right? When am I going to pick a Rocky? So, hey, guys, this is the week. Let's head back to the Rocky Mountains. We got a three game block with Ryan Feltner coming up. He's at KC. Tomorrow night, he's at KC. Then he's going to be home to Cincinnati, who will be so tired from all the runs they're going to score against Colorado the night before.
Oh, don't do it.
It goes night game to day game. And then he has a legitimate test the following weekend against San Francisco, but it is in San Francisco. So that's fine.
Oh, okay.
And if they happen to push him this weekend and he doesn't have the Sunday game against Cincinnati, he's going to have a gift of playing against the AAA team that's currently called the Atlanta Braves. And then he'll still have the weekend series in San Francisco. So his first three starts were good. He got absolutely torched against the Dodgers, and that's thrown his line and thrown everything for him. But he was striking out a guy per inning. He had a quality start. He had a sub three ERA. And oh my.
Oh, it's Ben and there. Say hi to Ben and Robbie.
You,
yeah.
You can bring that back in here.
Oh, she just got home.
Oh, hi guys.
Leanne, hello. Hello.
Why are we doing this?
Because
what?
What's the hat for? Yeah.
These are life choices. Thank you.
These are life choices.
I love it. Good job, Robbie.
Talking Rockies. So anyway, Ryan Felder, who nobody likes and nobody wants, that is the Jesus Take the Wheel pick. And if you're wondering how they've been going recently, I will have you know that Easton Lucas, the last two terrible starts, yeah, those count on the Jesus Take the Wheel. So we got one and lost two with him, but that was just some spilled milk.
That's not a pretty seat. Oh,
was that one bogus start though, right?
It's 2.2 innings. Again, that's why I'm saying it. 2.2 innings against the Dodgers. It was in LA and he was off. Now the start before, they said, oh, he was sick and dealing with something, and he had like an excellent start, 6 innings, 7 Ks. And I believe that was in Colorado. But Feltner understands pitching in Colorado, and on the stretch, I think he's only gonna end up with one game in Coors. So he's a good pitcher. He just had one bad start, and he could end up with 5 out of 6 good starts, or 6 out of 7, I guess, by the time this is all over. But we'll see.
I'll throw in one quick note on that series, by the way, for the Rockies, their first one with the Royals. It won't really help us as streamers because nobody ever was rostered Bubich and Cole Reagans. But the Rockies are like terrible against lefties. Mackenzie Gore struck out 13 of them on Sunday or Saturday. So that is good week for the Rockies and KC. Hopefully they come home to the weekend and then maybe do a little better while Feltner picks it up on the pitching side. I'm rooting for
you. New hitting coach could discover this thing that Colorado doesn't know, which is called
small ball. It's not Hensley's fault. Fall guy. Total fall guy. Scapegoat.
Yeah, but you need an approach, and your hitting coach is supposed to give your team kind of an approach, how you're going to go against hitters in your park, away from your park. And Colorado's one of those rare parks where you can actually have a style that you could do there versus on the road. Like hockey teams often play, like, you know, different sport. Hockey teams play aggressively at home. They try to score more goals, da da da. They go on the road, or they used to. They'd play really defensive. Yeah, 100%. But a hitting coach can do the same thing, knowing who you're going up against. And
you're getting into possible Ben Braves territory with the Rockies lately, Robbie.
Maybe that's what was happening. All right, I'm done.
All right. Lotso Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's.
Utah.
Thanks for watching. Subscribe to Ben and everybody here. Follow everybody and love us. That's it.
Please.
That's the ad break for today.
Oh, yeah. Ad break time. Let's turn it over now to, let's see. I got one. You like the new one? I do like the new one, too. But I have so many more I downloaded, so I'd like to give us at least a fresh one since I did the work. Would you like to go with, let's see, I'll give you a year. I'll give you two choices. We could go with either 1992
or 2006. 92. Blue Jays World Series champs.
I love that team. I really did. It was a fun team because Jack Morris won a series with him. I liked Jack Morris, one with the Twins and the Blue Jays. That was cool. All right, we'll be right back after this commercial break from Mentos.
From Alvin and the Chipmunks, you're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Pronto Podcast. 2 L's, 2 Z's.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I remember using a phone like that. Back on the phone.
Now they're called landlines. They used to just be phones. No,
that was the bag phone that you had in the vehicle. That I remember using.
Oh, that story. I wasn't even looking at that. I was too struck by all the handsomeness.
Dancing. Let's get in some hot hitters in the minor leagues.
Yes, let's.
We seriously need that drop. The Hansel is so hot, you know, right? You know that.
Should have that one. Let's see. I had this one.
We
had
that
one.
It is, Edward. That it is indeed.
I also played this one yesterday. This is annoying. Oh, whoops, I deleted it. Sorry. Yeah. You got the gist. Somebody brought it up. Somebody called me the Crypt Keeper, and then I played it. I swear I didn't bring it up first.
That's awesome. All right. Well, let's now talk about some Hawkeyes in AAA in the International League. Everybody is excited for Roman Anthony. Outfielder, 290, 429, 545. That four home runs, so two stolen bases. Right, there it is. There we go.
I knew I had it.
15 walks, 19 Ks. He's doing really well. He's got a teammate, guys, that nobody wants to talk about. Vaughn Grissom, 342 average, 400 OBP. Eight walks. Sorry, is it eight Ks? Two walks. That's what I think it is. Three home runs so far for Vaughn.
Give me two.
I think of two, you give Grissom the $100 million deal next. You guys agree?
Well, I mean, you had to give up Chris Sale to get him. So, I mean, he's absolutely someone you invested in. So,
yeah. But anyway, it's you know, it's good. Good start for Anthony, right? Everybody is excited that this guy's good and pushing.
Yeah. I mean, he's done nothing that tells you he's not the guy that everyone hoped he would be. At the same time, he's not hitting so well that you're like, oh my God, get him into the majors now. So it's a really good start for a really good player.
I missed this earlier. Anthony called my grandpa Richard Nixon. I don't think that's, I mean, it's an old black and white photo, but that's not Richard Milhouse Nixon.
This is how I talk. No, that doesn't sound right.
Jeez. By the way, they need an injury, right? Roman Anthony needs an injury because he's not going to come up and ride the bench. So Sedane Rafaela has to get hurt or something like that.
Yeah, the Red Sox need to understand that they may have cut the check to Sedane Rafaela a little too early. I think he's always been a guy who's going to be a real high-level utility guy, and they ended up cutting a check to him as if he was going to be a future starting elite center fielder, at least defensively. Contract? Didn't he remember. Get... I thought he got 880 or something like that.
Did he really?
Yeah,
me. He has
eight
not
years, $50 million. Yep, eight years, $50 million.
Yeah.
So sure, I guess that's fair if he plays a bunch, which right now he is, but he's not producing. 209 average, 583 OPS.
Yeah.
One ding a dong, four stolen bases. I've just realized
over the weekend.
I've got him.
Yeah, I don't know.
But. Yes, and that was the first one of the year. But I'm just realizing now I've got him as my second base in my home league. There's got to be somebody better. Connor Norby's back. Yeah. We didn't put him on the notes, everybody, but Norby's also back in Miami, which is excellent. Second, third base eligibility in my Yahoo League. Okay, anyway, let's talk catcher quick.
That makes up for knows. The Braves sticking it to Ozzie Albies? Okay.
What?
Got it, Eddie. Thank you.
Hey, Mel.
Moises Balseros, the future Cub, 388, 447, 582, two home runs, three stolen bases. Seven walks, 10 Ks. I'm happy with this because now that I have a share of them, I'm somewhat interested.
So Mike, you got to see him down in Arizona. You've seen what Moises Ballesteros looks like physically, correct?
I have. I did. I saw about six at bats, actually.
He's similar to a beach ball. he's a short man. He is a wide man. Not like fat wide, but I mean, he's
Kirk-esque.
I was just going to say, people are either picturing Kirk or who is the Twins? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Williams Astudillo.
Astudillo, yeah. Thank you.
La Tortuga.
Which actually, right? That's probably not a bad, he was a pretty darn decent athlete. And that's probably more where you should look at Ballesteros. But the three steals is kind of fun to watch. I wish I could watch more of that. When he does try and take off and steal a base, because kind of like when I think it became a big meme when Astudillo went first to home on a single or a double, and he ended up like flying around the bases, and it just I think somebody made a video out of it, and partway around third base, it turned into a rolling stone, and then it turned back into him as he crossed home plate. It's just kind of like, that's about right. But no, if Carson Kelly would figure out that he's Carson Kelly, maybe there'd be a spot in the Cubs catching rotation for him, but. So far,
no, that's going to happen, though. I think that it's a safe bet that that's going to happen. Kelly didn't do anything in Detroit that made anybody think like, oh, yeah, like this is a guy who can, take the reins for you. Right. Yeah. So I don't think he changed anything in the offseason.
I saw that.
So. Yeah. Eddie with a great one.
We love it, Eddie. That's the kind of talk we like on this show.
So an interesting prospect wave that we've seen with the next guy up here, guys. Current Toronto AAA outfielder Jonathan Clase came over from Seattle in a trade last year. Did not do great on a slumping Toronto team. I don't remember if he had much of an opportunity at all or if he just went straight to AAA, and I'm confusing him with Joey Loperfido. But 375 average this year, 492 OBP, 6 stolen bases. His K to walk is excellent because he's walked 10 times to 9 strikeouts. Interesting. Playing in Buffalo this time of year is not easy either.
No, that's kind of caught my
shady attention. Weather. So yeah. I'm quite interested in what is happening right now with him.
It's zero power. And maybe that's an intentional choice. He kind of went through streaks in the minors where he was, I'm going to hit you 15, 20 home runs sort of guy. And he would dink around with his swing. And then all of a sudden he'd start striking out, 30% of the time. He'd go, oh, maybe that's not the way I get to the majors. So now I need to start hitting singles and running because I'm really freaking fast. So
what site was that, Govier? Sorry, Ben, that was the 2024 stat line it was showing.
Oh, crap. Yeah, that was regular season stats. Crapola cola.
Like
sorry,
from
everybody.
Last year? I was just wondering how. Yeah. Okay.
Apparently stole 3 bases and 61 at bats in the major leagues last year. That's the major league site. Sorry.
Look at me. Say, how the hell did you go to a current website that didn't have 25 stats?
Between that and the Pirates video, I'm really screwing up today. I'm sorry, everybody.
Oh, yo ho. Yo ho.
Wow, dude.
All right. Love distracts me. That's what it is.
Ben, I was excited to see your inclusion here for Will Wilson.
Yeah.
Govier, do you remember Will Wilson? Do you know of this man?
Wait, Will Wilson?
Will Wilson.
Yeah.
First round draft pick. I don't remember. Was he the draft pick of the Giants or the Angels?
No, and then Angels.
Okay.
Then
and then
went to the Giants.
Yeah. And then didn't he end up then back with the Angels? Or anyway, he's only like 27.
He went
significantly older than this. Round shortstop,
like 14th overall, something like that.
Yeah, like
born right after I graduated high school.
So who drafted him?
Drafted by the Angels in the first round, 15th overall, North Carolina State. Yep. He
traded to San Fran, came back.
Or no, he didn't come back. He went to San Fran. He was in their minor league system all the way through last year. God, I didn't even remember that he was in that system for like the last 2 years. But he signed as a free agent this year.
Yeah, so he obviously got, again, this happens from time to time. A guy gets out, understands what's at stake here, and makes some changes. And right now with Cleveland currently 345, I mean, he's a AAA, but Cleveland organization in Columbus, 344, 446, 88, 6 ding-a-dongs, 10 walks, 15 Ks. This is not a Will Wilson anybody has ever rostered before.
Yeah.
And the only people who should still have him in Dynasty are the ones who are not really paying attention and just didn't drop him. Because no one's had a reason,
that's
no one's had a reason to keep him, right?
You know, his mom might
or
still
Will Wilson's mom, yeah. but anyway, he's a really interesting watch one for me because he'll start to move in a few leagues where he is rostered because someone's going to be like, holy crap, I can get something for him. And somebody else is going to say, oh, yeah, he's the Kyren Paris, the Lawrence Butler. He's the new guy who's reworked himself and he's going to be a stud. But he hasn't yet done it at MLB. So but
last year was trash.
Yeah, he has no track record. None. Yeah.
He's actually 23. 2023 wasn't bad. He hit 18 dongs, but that was really all he did.
Never
and then
really hit contact. That's the whole thing. But and really, I'm sorry. Do you really think Gabriel Arias is what we've seen so far? I mean, other than striking out 20 times in 72 plate appearances, but a 508 slugging. I don't see that sticking long term.
Ask Robbie what I think about Arias. I got him on a dirt cheap contract before opening day in our league together.
And I have him in a similar manner.
Oh, you got Meg.
Gorgeous. But it's just.
He's not this good, maybe, but there's talent there. I mean.
Yeah, there's talent. There's a whole lot of up the middle talent that has come through Cleveland and just not turned into what they expected. You know, hello, Tyler Freeman. Oh, goodbye, Tyler Freeman.
Excuse me, that's an injured Rocky, and I don't appreciate you talking about him in that manner.
But cool. That's, you know, Eddie just mentioned one guy that's probably going to be a little bit more slow burn, and that's Travis Bezzana.
I got him if we get to double A. I got his line.
That seems unlikely today, suddenly. Yes.
Wouldn't be surprising if you end up seeing a little bit of Will Wilson towards the end of the season.
Yeah, why not, right? Like you said, Ben, minor league free agent, found money, and he could always come up. Yeah, he could come up, do something good for you or your organization, or he could maybe bring you somebody with control.
In AAA so far this year, he's played 3 games at second, 12 games at third, and 2 games at short. So they are kind of perfectly molding him to come up and work around the infield.
Arias is hitting the ball hard, about 44% hard hit rate, so that's not nothing. Interesting.
Yep. All right, well, let's talk about some AAA speedsters here. So Miami Jacob Marseille, 14 stolen bases, .231 average. I did update these after games last night, Ben, just if you're noticing that some of the things were a little different. Yeah. Maximo Acosta, 9 stolen bases, .234 average. And Reese Hittemhigh Hines, 4 ding-a-dongs, 8 stolen bases, and he must have had a good game on Sunday because now his average is .257. Yeah. So I don't comment was struggling at the plate. I'll say he's not, but yesterday he was, before the game, he was, I think he jumped up 20-something points yesterday. Yeah. So,
this is an issue in the minors right now as I look around for guys who are really doing well stealing the bases. They're all like .220 to .240. So I don't know what
stolen base guys. Yes.
Yeah. The upper level stolen base guys. They're not getting on base very much, but yet they're stealing a lot of them. So I don't know what to think of that. But anyway.
Yeah. When on, they've been effective.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But some guys who do have a knack for getting on base. That's right. It's time for the walk machines. This would be a good one to have a song for. Yeah, Nick Lofton with Kansas City. Remember, everyone, how you were upset that he didn't do those things? Well, at AAA, he has 24 walks. That's leading minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. 11 strikeouts to his name, .323 average, .511 on base percentage and 62 at-bats. But he does not have a triple nor a home run to his name, so we don't need to get too excited. And the other one who's now up with Detroit is Jace Jung. Third baseman, 20 walks, 22 strikeouts and a 239 average, 409 OBP. So depending on what you're going for here, you love the OBP. If that's something he's been working at, great. It's been successful. And he has one triple and three home runs, just to note the difference between him and Lofton. And then, Ben, I've got a little bit here about some catchers that are not prospects, but they're worthy, because I just know everyone loves catcher talk specifically.
I think your last one is maybe still young enough that folks can get kind of excited, but yeah, I agree on the first three for sure.
Yeah, like Jorge Alfaro's 31. He's with Milwaukee AAA this year in Nashville. Five home runs, 262 average, five stolen bases. Come on.
Yeah, that's always been Alfaro, though.
And this is a great credit, in my opinion, to Alfaro helping the Brewers pitchers as the guy that they can learn from with MLB experience. Mind you, not, 3,000 at-bats or anything crazy like that, but with enough major league time that he can talk to them about how to handle major league hitters, because he's
Crash Davis.
He's been behind the plate to do it all. So Trace Barria with Tampa Bay is a 30-year-old who's got five home runs, and he's got a good average, 308.
The home runs for him are surprising. He's been a guy who's hit for decent average in the past, I think.
Yeah, I feel like when I looked him up, his career home runs were 40 or something like that. Maybe I'm just mixed. I was looking at a bunch of guys that nobody cares about today. but Barria is somebody that we now are interested in. And then this was the most interesting on the shot in the dark end. Drew Millas with Washington, Millas, 27-year-old, five stolen bases, 305 average, one home run, and three triples, which means he's either, well, we know with the combination of average and stolen bases, he's moving around well and getting on base, but he's clearly moving quickly when he's doing it to get those three triples. And that also means he's hitting the ball hard, because they're not getting it in their glove enough for that. And then the final guy here is Luis Camposano, who I cannot believe is only 26. Ben, I had to go back and look at when I first drafted him in a dynasty league, and it was 2018. And I remember dropping him in 2019 after the season, because I thought he's too far away. And that ended up being the right move. But he ended up being a second round pick the year I dropped him. Somebody thought very highly of him, and I thought, it's just not working. Anyway, five home runs for him this year, 387 average, 500 OBP, 14 walks and 11 Ks, which I really think is an excellent sign for him. Now, San Diego has shown over and over again that they're not going to let him be up and struggle and get the ball over and over and over again. Austin Nola was there for a couple years when Camposano kept on not getting consistent at bats. I feel like they tried to give him the job a time or two.
They had Francisco Mejia there around that time.
At the same time. Yeah, that's right. It was a three-man system with no leader. And nobody took the wheel. So anyway, we'll see if anything can come of this hot start. It's certainly fun to see. And now we can go from international to the PCL or Pacific Coast League. The Athletics, Logan Davidson, 368, 526, 509, 17 walks, 22 Ks.
We did talk. First round pick that really hasn't ever put it all together like this yet.
So yeah, and we did talk about Kurtz earlier, and Davidson was also somebody that was brought up. So Kurtz in his AAA time, which we now know is at least paused with the promotion. Ideally, it's over, but hey, we'll see. 316 average, 389 OBP, 671 slug, seven home runs. And as you mentioned, Ben, he had a lot early, and then kind of everybody reset on him, I think. Mm-hmm. 24 Ks. So Davidson and Kurtz are two excellent Athletics. And I added a third because I have him in one league and I was trying to acquire him twice this offseason, and others thinking there maybe. And that's Brett Harris, 26 years old. Now he has 103 MLB at bats. So I don't think anybody really cares anymore. And last year when he got up, he had all the opportunity and no production to his name. Now it wasn't a great A's team, but it was unfortunate.
They handed him the job and he pissed it down.
He handed it right back. He said, no, sir, thank you. But yeah, so this year, 373 average, three home runs, three stolen bases, and a 459 OBP. There isn't a spot for him, but he has been interesting. And I think that's good enough for right now for him, right? He's no longer, who's the guy? Kevin Smith, within that same last two-year span with the A's, came, he went up and down a few times and just, he was Mr. AAA, right? Very good at AAA. Couldn't do it. Harris wasn't like an excellent AAA guy. Last year it was the MLB time that was just so horrible, but we've seen Kobe Mayo take a step back at AAA this year. Now, whether that's something he's working on, they talked to him about other things. It just hasn't been, it was a good first weekend. I remember we talked about him after that, but he's since now kind of hit a rut or something. But Harris looks like he's on the other end of it. Anyway, we've got a Texas guy here, Justin Foukous, infielder, 351 average, 420 OBP, 545 slug, three home runs, 10 walks, 15 Ks. Is there a spot for Foukous?
I don't know that he's, that's the whole thing is, I mean, they're working to make sure that Josh Smith gets regular playing time right now around the infield. And in place of Young, in place of Seager, in place of Semien, just to get him time, I don't know where they're going to put Foscu, other than maybe if he's getting more outfield time. And I'll be honest that I did not look to see what his defensive playing has been this year, where he's been playing in the field. That very well could be that he's gone out into the outfield more this year, because he was doing a little bit of that in the minors last year, but I was just going to say he played first base when he got up last year, and looks like so far this year, first base, 6 games, second base, 12 games, and then a little DH. So I don't know where there's really room for that, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. But he's finally figuring out how to hit,
which is great. And Texas always finds a way to clog things up, or at least they have the last few years, which has been, to their development credit. They do have a guy in that league that's theirs, the Texas League, they call it. They only have one team in it, but the whole league is named after them. Interesting. Josh Hatcher. He's 26 years old in AA, so nobody cares. But 418 OBP, 1,091 OPS, 3 home runs, 16 RBIs, and a stolen base. He's the kind of guy that you might, if he was a minor league free agent, I'm assuming, or drafted Kennesaw a long time
States,
ago.
Josh Hatcher? Cool.
Yeah. He could be somebody that maybe we see shoot up because he's kind of nobody from nowhere, and they could, use him, lose him. But he's somebody that I looked at when I was looking at, what could Texas do? Because, again, they're clogging it all up. So, boring talk. The Dodgers have another guy, Alex Freeland, who was a big guy this offseason that people were really discovering.
Yeah, and which is weird because, I guess, if you've been big on prospects for a while, you've known about him because he's just kind of been producing all the way up. But the big thing over the offseason is all of a sudden the Dodgers were very adamant that he is going to stick it short. And with them currently playing a multi-time Gold Glover out of position at shortstop right now and getting very little production out of the offense from guys in other infield spots or other spots that particular Gold Glover could play, maybe this is something they do, is they bring him up, have him play some short, and Betts moves. Unfortunately, Evan Carter,
Eddie is asking, for everyone wondering, Eddie is asking, do we see Evan Carter taking the center field job from Leody Taveras anytime soon? This season, no.
If
Evan
at
Carter
all, maybe. Brutal in AAA. But not anytime soon.
Dustin Harris is playing some center now, too.
Yeah, and Harris is one of those guys who's more athlete than natural in center, but he's enough of an athlete that he's not going to hurt you out there. He's just not a natural center fielder, which when he's healthy, Carter is, but that doesn't mean he wasn't healthy, and B, he's got to hit the ball too. So
He needs a strong finish in April to get above the Mendoza line right now, which he's well below at this moment. Whereas Freeland is 325, 404, 475 with 6 stolen bases, 11 walks, but 26 Ks. Freeland reminds me,
and
people will not like this, he reminds me of he's still a Dodger, but former Dodger prospect, now just an organizational piece, James Outman, who quietly produced in the minors. and then came up and was solid for a short period of time before, you know, the flaws got exposed. And not that that's what Freeland is, but that's just where I'm kind of seeing like a successful guy who's gone slowly.
Lock him in.
Consider that Jordan Lawler, for everybody who wants to hear about highly drafted guys, Lawler with Arizona, 308, 400, 577, four home runs, seven stolen bases, and walks in those days. We're watching those ones.
He's filling up the stat line. I mean, the issue is, what do you do with Lawler if you're Arizona? Because you bring in
everyone but Suarez on your infield has a multi-year deal.
Yep. And Suarez basically is hitting home runs or nothing. But other than that, you know, Marte's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you really have a spot for Lawler right now? You really don't.
But also not even now. Legitimately, long term, if he is not your third baseman, if he's not your Scott Rolen to let him settle in there, then perhaps you need to go trade him for a third baseman.
That's what I'm thinking.
Simply because you've got starters, your organization's cool to go and sign free agents. You've proved that the last few years, so that's nothing that you're going to trade for necessarily. You've got Martinez as your closer. Looks like he's locked in long term now, whether he legitimately closes or is just at the back of your bullpen for years and years. So you're not trading a top prospect for another type guy. So isn't the logical move to, you got a couple catchers as well. The logical move would be, if he's not your third baseman, you get a third baseman for him, which I mean, it makes too much sense for them to actually do it, but
I mean, Nolan Arenado, signed everybody, you know, just at least for this year, Nolan Arenado, anybody? Cause at least for this year, I mean, and I get it. That's a really expensive price to pay for him, but you know, there's other guys out there that good Lord, the Reds have about 70 third basemen that they just can't find room for. Maybe you're giving Lawler up and you're getting back a Noelvi Marte who can settle in as a third baseman. You know, maybe trade like that out there.
Yeah, if people believe that's like a real, like, you know, Marte, or not people, but if Arizona front office thinks that's a real thing, I think it's only, a year and a half of service time Marte's got, something like that. You've still got that would be an interesting one. Regardless, Lawler's playing well. I agree with Eddie's comment here. You can't trade Suarez after the second half. And
Eddie also mentioned Tommy Troy. Tommy Troy is hitting Tommy's another guy, first round talent, and is starting to finally figure it out in the minor leagues this year and look like the guy we all thought he would be. So that's another one. He could be coming up real quick, but anyway.
It's a bottom line. You're going to make a trade, I feel like, because Arizona's trying to win a World Series. They're not just farting around. They are a playoff team that wants to go for the gold. So you're either going to have a spot for Lawler that you're planning out in the next few months, or you're looking to use him as a trade chip. That's it.
And you were in the World Series a couple years ago if you're Arizona. So it makes sense to sort of push your chips in a little bit here, knowing that Lawler is not going to clear, you know, you don't have to clear out your system. And if it is like an Arenado, if Arenado continues to play well, and St. Louis is like, hey, like, let's make a deal. I'm sure there's two pieces. You know, it's not just like a one for one here with Arenado, because I can't remember exactly his contractual status. But there we go. I like it.
All right, hit buddy.
Yes. And then the last one here, Ben, you had put in Bryce Matthews with Houston, 9 stolen bases, but the .222 average.
Yeah.
Was there more on this you were interested
in? It's just that he's not been a guy who you expected to...
Oh, Ben's got lots of hats. Don't worry. He could put one on. He's got Braves hats.
The minor league leaders.
Leanne's worried about you, Ben. She's like, don't leave Ben out. He needs a hat. So
there we go.
See, I told her. Yeah, he's right there. Here. We go. All right. There we go.
Trying to put it over the top of my headphones. Doesn't work so well.
It looks great, man. It looks great. Yeah. Keep it going.
looks so professional. But no, Matthews is a guy who you kind of thought he was more of a, if he's going to succeed, it's going to be as a contact guy who doesn't give you a whole lot of home runs or steals. It would be his best profile. And oddly, he's stealing, you know, among the minor league leaders, I believe he is actually the Pacific Coast leader in steals with 9, but he's hitting .222. So it's completely not what his profile says he should be doing, and it's at the AAA level. So that's why I kind of was like, well, that's interesting. But it's also right now in the upper minors, you're looking for stolen base leaders. You're looking for guys that are hitting, you know, around that Mendoza line. So
true.
I don't know why, but that's what's going on. So
it's okay.
I'm just trying to confirm. Yes, Matthews is leading stolen bases. Clay Dungan behind, then Lawler, Kellen Stram, and Gustavo Campanero, and then Alex Freeland. And then,
look at that.
And by low candidate, Hyesung Kim, everybody, who has dipped in that average now. Still four home runs, though, in AAA, six stolen bases, and an 840 OPS. Govier, I think it's time you sell him in the 13 points league. And let me tell you, we could talk.
No offers. I have not received a single offer at all.
That's because he was a first round pick, so everybody thinks he's going to be too costly.
Really expensive. Yep.
No, that doesn't stop people. They try. I'm sure they try to trade for Nick Kurtz, whoever got him in our league. So, anyways, I saw Kim. Yeah, he's benefiting from the PCL possibly, but he should probably be up with the Dodgers some point in the next month or so, possibly.
Chris Taylor is up with the Dodgers, so it's very confusing.
I feel like it's Groundhog Day over there, man. Kiki Hernandez and Chris Taylor.
Running them out.
Just the same over and over again. Eddie, to let us know, Hunter Brown, Kevin Gausman in a scoreless duel in the top of the fifth inning. Thank you, Eddie, so much. But people watch this later on replay, they'll be like, oh, I remember that game. It's already over.
And Aaron Nola is not getting his butt handed to him.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that earlier. Thank you so much. Eddie says Chris Taylor has a big contract. A big one? Or at least
enough that... Oh. Well, but it's the Dodgers. What are they...
I was going to say, right, a part contract? But come on.
Yeah, they spent $72 million on a part-time closer. So, yeah. You're right.
Well, and, look, and this, like... You know, their bullpen this year, I think, is more than a couple teams' salaries. Like, they're over $80 million, I think, in that bullpen. So
That's not their fault. That's the other team's fault. But that's a different show for a different time. We did AAA today, so we'll leave it there. Next week, we'll get back to more hot hitters on fire in the zone. He's on fire. Boom shakalaka. We'll do all that stuff next week. More hot hitters in the AA and single A, maybe. Who knows what we'll get to. But one thing we can guarantee is someone on the show will wear a hat. We're going to lock that in for next week. So. Robbie?
Definitely. For sure. I'm just looking. We were going to cover AAA hot stats tonight. We did that.
We did.
Next week, the plan next week, Ben, was to cover AA and lower hitters. And then we're giving the arms more time to accumulate stats. But we're good.
Good call.
I think we were just planning our show notes ahead with AA. But you know what, everybody? We're just going to put a pin in that for a week.
Eddie says, oh, man, you guys are great. Thank you for the show tonight. I'll be here Friday. Thank you, gentlemen. You are the best. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie.
Awesome.
Yes.
That it is, Eddie, Edward.
You are the best.
It is indeed.
We thank you so much for being here. Subscribe to the YouTube. Share it with your friends. Share it with people you don't know. Tell people about the show. Even if they don't love fantasy baseball, they just like baseball, I still think they'll like the show because we have humor and we don't take ourselves too seriously as well. So just spread the word. Just say it's a baseball show, or just say it's a show where they talk about outdated pop culture references. That'll work too. And people like that stuff. They still soak that stuff up.
Are we going to have a Cinema 9 minute? Do you want
a Cinema 9 minute? Sure.
Can we follow up from the Cinema 9 podcast where you talked about your concerns over Frank Drebin coming back?
Yeah. So The Naked Gun is actually going to be out in August, for real. That's really happening. Yeah. And I saw the trailer. It looks like they're trying to be funny, of course. But it's just going to be so difficult to overcome. Leslie Nielsen was just so good. I'm not saying you can't not do it. It could be its own thing. But I'm going to watch it when it comes out, but I am skeptical.
But like the guy who was the director of it is from The Lonely Island, which is like the SNL guys.
Yeah.
You know, they did like Dick on a Boat. Dick on a Boat? No, those are two songs I just brought together.
I'm on a boat.
Dick on a boat.
Dick in a box.
Yes. I think it was Boat Dick. No, wait. Anyway. But yeah, so and they also, if you like other podcasts, OJ making
fun. OJ's dead. Could be AI OJ. Yeah, I don't know. So,
but yeah, they do a podcast where they're currently going through. It's the Seth Meyers or the Lonely Island and Seth Meyers podcast, and they talk about all their digital shorts that they go through and the history of them. So you get to pick up on like exactly what they're doing, and they have talked more than once about. I think it's it's not, it's Akiva. I think that's the director's
Akiva
name.
Goldsman is his name. Yep.
Thank you. He's talked a couple times about how he is doing the movie and was shooting it during certain parts and stuff. So I'm excited to see what it is, but I'm like you, you're not going to beat the original, but this might be something I could introduce to my kid, depending on how bouncy the titties on the stage are, if they're going to recreate that.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. What about the opening with the siren? Are they going to go through, are they going to do the siren?
They got to do a version. Yeah. They got to do a version.
Yeah.
Iconic things.
A roller coaster. Actually, Robbie, since we live closer to each other than anybody else on the show, maybe we try to get together and go see it in the theater. So,
I haven't gone to a movie since
me neither.
Godzilla.
Yeah,
and
I never
think
go
I was
to the
supposed
theater.
To go to one. I was supposed to go to one of the kid ones that my wife just ended up taking her son to.
Oh, Leanne says we can meet in London.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Although it's probably easier for me than him, but we'll talk about it later. Anyway,
London's easy for me.
Oh, it's easy for him, he says. Okay. Yeah. Lindor, the three-run bomb to close out the show. Thank you, Eddie. Make sure you follow Ben at Big Gentle Ben. Rock B, not Rocky, Robbie Baseball.
Rock B.
MJ Govey.
No, I like that one.
Yeah, maybe it should be Rocky Baseball now. Make sure you follow us at Plausible Podcast 2L2Z.
Utah.
And subscribe to the YouTube. Thank you so much. The Discord's free 24/7. There is a Patreon. That's available. Starts at just $3. I did a great Secret Stash update, and every Sunday I do a bunch of in-depth stuff where I'm talking about who's on the verge on the watch list, who I'm adding, who I'm dropping in specific leagues. So if you play in Dynasty, if you play in Head-to-Head, you play in Roto, I do all those leagues. I'll probably not win any of them because I'm probably overexposed, but it's going to be fun. All right? Thanks, everybody. It's been a pleasure. We love doing the show. Eddie, everybody in the live chat, Uncle Ted. Bye!
Bye.
Oh, bye! Bye!
Is that a cat? Is that hopefully a cat? Yeah. Oh, that was a woman.
Power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects.